coming from, I really thought the speech was great, was our very own Arapahoe candidate, George Brockler.
Hey, and we've got him on the phone. George, good morning.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Hey, no, hey. So what, we were not here yesterday. We were working our other jobs. Can you just sort of give folks, seriously, you're getting...
Rave reviews,
even at 6 o'clock in the morning. Wow. So what did you say?
It's hard to know if I said anything of substance or value, but I mean, it started off with me saying, hey, under the caption, "This sucks," I think Red State hates me. And I started to recount just the moments leading up to me taking the stage. So one, they put me behind Daryl Glenn. And I'm like, listen, that's outrageous. I don't want to go after Daryl Glenn. Because, you know, Daryl's a pretty powerful speaker.
Yeah, very
and
good.
I said, you know, earlier in the week when I was teaching Daryl how to lift weights, we talked about this, and he promised he'd never go before me. And, of course, if you've ever seen or talked to Daryl, you know, this guy could lift your car up over his head. I mean, he is an incredibly strong dude. And then as I'm standing in the wings waiting to go on the stage, the nice guy who is introducing me says, hey, before we bring up the next guy, take a look at your program, and I want to let you know, as soon as this next speaker's done talking, of course, we get to the free ice cream.
Oh.
So I'm like, holy crap, so now you tell them I'm all the sins between them.
Everybody starts heading out the door.
Oh, my God. And then he says, you know, we've been doing this for a while now, and every once in a while we get the opportunity to bring someone up who you haven't heard from before, but who we expect is going to have a bigger presence down the road. In 2009, you know, we introduced you to a little-known state solicitor from Texas, and I'm standing in the wings going, do not do that. Don't compare me
don't
to Ted Cruz.
Don't call me Ted Cruz.
Don't call me Ted Cruz. And then he says, and then in 2011, it was a House member from Florida named, I go, don't do the Marco Rubio. They said Marco Rubio. So I stand up there. I'm like, this is the single worst way to begin any speech. Following Daryl Glenn, right before ice cream, being compared to Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio. I'm like, you guys are set up for disappointment because it's just me, you know? And
well, you seem to have overcome all those hurdles because people loved you.
I appreciate hearing that. I really do because I feel like it ended up being a good opening, and I think people took pity on me because they were like, you're right. They hate you.
Well, as long as
you're brief and we can get to the ice cream, we'll sit here for a few seconds.
Let me know, where do you stand on the great divide here at the Red State? Are you a never-Trumper or are you a I'll vote for Trump just because he's, you know, slightly better than the hideous crook degenerate that is running against him? Or are you kind of a pro-Trumper? Where do you stand?
No, I'm a never-Clintoner, for sure.
There you go.
I think that has to define that next decision that you make.
Are you going to vote for Trump?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Okay. What I don't understand is how we can let ourselves be put in a position where the right outcome, regardless of everything else, the right outcome is a President Clinton, which I think is a disaster for me. And you know, that room yesterday, and I sat through all the speeches, you know, Congressman Buck, Ken Cuccinelli, Daryl Glenn, a lot of the other discussions. There's no way you can describe that as a pro-Trump faction, although there were some people there that were supportive.
Right.
But I also don't think you found a single person in there who said, I'm pretty sure I'm going to go with Clinton. I'm so put off by everything I've heard from the Trump campaign. I don't think anybody in there was doing that either.
There's some people who will never vote for Trump. There's not too many of the kind of the foreign Washington, D.C., national security people who write little letters saying that I'm going to vote for Hillary because she's so special. Kind of the Bush family.
Yeah, right.
Well, what do you, George, I wanted to get your thoughts on this. You know, you were talking about Daryl Glenn, who, by the way, I think was completely and unfairly targeted by the Denver Post.
Oh, that was awful.
I mean, that was just shameful how they treated him. But, you know, everybody's, you know, I guess the common thought is, out there on the street at least, is, oh, he doesn't stand a chance. But I'm not so sure.
Because he's so special. Kind of the Bush family.
Yeah, right.
Well, what do you, George, I wanted to get your thoughts on this. You know, you were talking about Daryl Glenn, who, by the way, I think was completely and unfairly targeted by the Denver Post.
Oh, that was awful.
I mean, that was just shameful how they treated him. But, you know, everybody's, you know, I guess the common thought is, out there on the street at least, is, oh, he doesn't stand a chance. But I'm not so sure about that. I mean, look what happened to Mark Udall. I don't think there's any great love for Michael Bennett. I mean, what do you think?
First off, I think Darryl Glenn would be a fantastic upgrade for us in the U.S. Senate and a real opportunity to do something I think that Congressman Buck, frankly, has done, and that is to be more than just another R in one of the houses of the legislature, but to be someone there who has a legitimate shot at changing the way federal government acts in Colorado. Having said that, I'm a realist, too. Money matters in these ridiculous campaigns, and it seems like Bennett has been able to pass a bank full of money, and for whatever reason, some of them bigger than Darryl, a lot of the money hasn't flowed in. So I'm watching the Olympics with my family like everybody else, and then I get to see ads about how Michael Bennett, 6 years ago, was the guy that put in place the pieces to defend us from Zika.
Thank God. I've seen
crazy.
That, too. Thank God. He was Mr. Zika. He was
anyone even knew.
Yeah.
Knew it existed.
Man. Thank you.
Right.
Thank you.
I told Darryl, you got to get an ad where you say, look, my service in the Air Force 20 years ago is what ended the evil empire.
Right. Right. I single-handedly defeated the Soviet Union.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Well,
I agree with you, Julie, in this way. I just think Colorado's different. I just don't think we follow the typical national patterns for either party. I'm worried about the polling, although the polling's been wrong before, and it was wrong with Corey's race, but not nearly with this kind of a divide. I mean, I'm optimistic that there's enough time on the clock that minds can be changed. Ballots still don't go out for a couple months.
He's got a tough road. He's 15 points behind in the latest NBC.
Yeah.
But I think that would have come down to, turnout. I mean, I think it is a down ticket thing. And here's just what I'm thinking. Donald Trump, I think, is coming next week or the week after back to Colorado. Hillary Clinton's been here. They've both been here. Our good friend Ted Trimble, who's the Democratic national strategist, is not as cheerful as he should be when you talk to him if things were actually going as well. And I'm just wondering, Donald Trump is not wasting his time coming here. I just wonder if he has some kind of internal poll that shows that it is well worth his time. And nor is Hillary Clinton wasting her time coming here she's really ahead by 14%.
Four weeks ago, it was a 4 or 5 point gap. Today, it's 15. Whether tomorrow or next week, he'll continue that. I mean, it's interesting to see the national polls. Right now, the most recent national polls show Trump behind by 4 to 7 points. And I think that's pretty accurate. 4 to 7 points is probably what he's behind nationally. And that can be made up with one good debate. So I think nationally, he certainly has an opportunity. I think Colorado, if you look at some of the local polls in Adams County, where I now live, and in Jefferson, Trump is doing much better than people thought. So
What Ted pointed out.
Yeah,
he said
right.
He's worried about Jefferson County and Adams County.
Right, not Arapahoe. I'm not sure what's happening.
George, what are you guys doing down there? No.
Yeah, but
geez, Louise, Arapahoe is very different these days. Very different. I'll tell you this, though, too, watching the Olympics, if I can make that sort of analogy.
Sure.
What are you doing watching the Olympics? It's a chick event now. It's awful.
Oh,
The crappy white coalition has decided we are not going to watch until
he does watch it, because I watch it. So.
I can't help but cheer for it. And I'll say this, it's not uncommon to not be in the lead going into the end. And we've seen that now 100 times, right? We're coming off of the last turn in one of those ridiculously swimming races, and it's only at the end that the Americans, crush the French or the Australians or the fill-in-the-blank team or whatever. And
but you see the woman swimmer, what's her name?
Katie Ledecky
wasn't coming up. I mean, she had the pool by herself.
Yeah, I guess I don't want the Clinton campaign to be more like Ledecky. I'd prefer it to be more like Phelps, I guess, who's dominant.
I mean, not Phelps.
I want the Trump campaign to be more like Phelps and pull it
right,
up.
Right.
It's the Red State Gathering where you're at there. I've never been to anything quite like that. I mean, I'm just a local guy doing local things. This is kind of the first time I've ever had a chance to do something like that. And it's impressive how many people have given their time and their treasure to travel to Denver for something that they're really committed
to.
Yeah, but
half the people here are not from Colorado. We've been talking to somebody from
50%.
Iowa and Wyoming, and you're absolutely right. They come from all over.
Yeah, it's a good group. They've got some really great speakers. Even my daughter was looking at the program and was begging me to go back today just to hear Carly Fiorina. And I wish I could. It's all day baseball Legos for us.
We have go. We go from here to the meet and greet play date because Rev starts kindergarten. So.
Yeah. Oh my God! Already?
I know. It's like I'm an emotional wreck. But listen, George, we want to thank you for your time.
Hey,
I appreciate
so
you calling in.
Yeah. Talk
all right.
To you soon.
All right, we'll talk to you later. Thanks, our thanks to George Brockler.
He's great. I love that guy.
You know, here's, and I know I'm not just saying this. I think, you know, if they had a candidate like him or him, I'm just going to say or him. I hope that the governor's race that's going to be coming up, at, you know, next time around, I think George Brockler would be a great candidate. I think George Brockler would be a great candidate for anything.
There can be a lot of people competing for them. They all gave up. They all went, well, Bennett can't be beat for whatever internal reasons or money-wise. And all the Republicans, but I think the real star of the field is going to be George Brockler.
That's right. Hey, and we have, if Joe is still there, we got time for a phone.